Hi, it's Wednesday, November 17th. I'm Carol Gold, and welcome to Think for Yourself. I said on my last podcast that at some point I would probably do a podcast on the Rittenhouse trial, Kyle Rittenhouse. And this is as good as any because the jury is still out. And I have a point I want to make about the people who are following this story, which are probably in the hundreds of thousands across the country. There are really only two perspectives in watching this trial. The right, people on the political right, see Kyle Rittenhouse as a patriot, as a young man who went to Kenosha to help protect property, to help assist people who were injured, that he had good intentions, that yes, he brought a weapon, but he knew he was walking into a dangerous situation where there most likely would be violence because there had been violence. And they want to see him acquitted. They see the shenanigans of the prosecution and the antics that have gone on, and there have been several. Some are actually shameful, and I can say that as an attorney. They see those antics of the prosecutor as even more reason to grant a mistrial and to grant a mistrial with prejudice, which means the case could not be brought again. And those on the left see Kyle Rittenhouse as a white supremacist at the worst, and at the least as a reckless young man who, in his arrogance, brought an AR basically to a fistfight and killed three people in the process. I'm sorry, he killed two people and wounded a third. And I've been watching this trial every day because as a former practicing attorney, I will tell you that that's entertainment for me. I like watching trials and I like trying to be in the position of a juror when I'm watching a trial such as this. I don't get the facts and the evidence from news reports. I know the only place to get the facts and the evidence is in the trial itself. And so I've watched every day. There's something very important that I want to share about my experience in watching the trial, because if you had to categorize me in one of those two categories that I just laid out, left or right, I am clearly right. I am right of center, and I am quite a distance right of center. And on some things, I'm very far right, not right enough to be violent, but very conservative in some things. Watching that trial, if I had a personal bias, if I had a predisposition, it would have been to have seen Kyle Rittenhouse as that somewhat of a young patriot who went with good intentions to help individuals who might be physically harmed, given that he had medical training, and to protect property, and that he armed himself rightfully so, because he was walking into situations where in other cities, Antifa and BLM had burned down not only businesses, but police stations, had taken over entire parts of cities, as in Portland, had harmed people and had killed people in the process. And I could have justified him coming with a weapon, putting aside for a moment whether he was legally carrying the weapon, whether it was his weapon, whether he had it with permission, put that aside for a moment, I'd be inclined to be on the side of a conservative. But I watched the trial, and there are a couple of problems with that case in terms of the defense. I will say from the get-go that the prosecution is an embarrassment to my profession. The prosecution is unethical. They were deceitful. They withheld exculpatory evidence, which means evidence that would have tended to have shown the innocence or at least been leaning toward showing the innocence of the defendant. They violated his Miranda rights by referencing in the presence of the jury that he had not spoken about the alleged crime, which is a violation of his Miranda right. The prosecutor knew that they could not mention that in front of the jury. They tried to bring in evidence that the judge had already ruled inadmissible, and in defiance of the judge's order, they went down that road in the presence of the jury, knowing that it was going to infuriate the court. There were a whole slew of things done by the prosecutor that, as I said, is an embarrassment to my profession. But now I can put that aside and say the following. Kyle Rittenhouse lied that he was a medic. He was not a trained medic. He had some preliminary training. He wanted to be a medic, but he told everyone that night he was a medic. And he told people after the events of that night in subsequent interviews that he was a medic. When asked, he said yes in the affirmative that he was. But more troubling, because that goes to his credibility, more troubling is a drone video, which is now actually the subject of a motion to dismiss or a motion for mistrial, and I'll explain that in a moment. But there was a drone video of the shooting of Mr. Rosenbaum. And while I believe the first shot into Mr. Rosenbaum by Kyle Rittenhouse was warranted, Mr. Rosenbaum seemed unstable that night. He had threatened to kill Kyle Rittenhouse earlier. He was chasing him down in the moment. And I believe that Kyle Rittenhouse believed that his life was imminently being threatened and that he was about to be the object of severe physical harm in the least and perhaps worse. And so the bullet that stopped Rosenbaum was justified in self-defense. The problem is Kyle Rittenhouse put three more bullets into Rosenbaum. The first bullet hit him in the pelvis and brought him to the ground. He couldn't get up after that. Those subsequent three bullets are a problem. They're a problem in a self-defense positioning, and they're a problem for the jury, I'm certain. And I suspect that if this jury comes back with a verdict, it's going to be not first-degree murder, and it's not going to even be second-degree. I suspect it will be third-degree, and it will be reckless disregard for human life, because I think that's what bullets 2, 3, and 4 into Rosenbaum indicate. Now, I've never been in a situation where I have a weapon, and I believe that someone is about to seriously harm or kill me. Whether or not I even know that person has access to a weapon, be it a gun or a hammer or a flashlight or anything else they may have or a knife on their person, and they're charging me and they're chasing me and they've threatened to kill me earlier in the evening. Maybe those second, third, and fourth bullets are what happens in the heat of the moment, in panic, when you are armed and you believe that you are in danger. Maybe you don't stop to think. Maybe Rosenbaum was still trying to get up. I don't know. Maybe we'll never know. I mean, the video shows him on the ground, but whether he was still, you know, writhing or attempting to get up, or Kyle Rittenhouse perhaps had no knowledge of how seriously he had wounded Rosenbaum, regardless, I think it's a problem. And I think that as a conservative, which I'll call myself, who would like to see this young man walk away from this crime or alleged crime, I think that if I was on that jury, I would be inclined to find reckless disregard for human life for those subsequent bullets. Now, why do I want to do the podcast making this distinction? It's because 99.9% of the people out there right now in this country who are either politically left or politically right will not see the facts of this case, will not analyze this case as it should be on its facts and on the evidence, whether they watch the trial or not. 99.9% of the people who are politically left will want him convicted as a white supremacist and an angry or arrogant young white kid who, in an era of white supremacy and white guilt and everything else white people are supposed to now feel for what happened hundreds of years ago, those people who are left and the media who support them will only want an outcome that is social justice. They won't want real justice. And 99.9% of the people on the right will want this young patriot, as they see him, to walk, because they're fed up with Antifa and they're fed up with BLM and they're fed up with all they've gotten away with in cities where they burn businesses and hurt people and took over police buildings and were brought out on bail with money raised by the likes of Kamala Harris and others who are high in the Democratic Party. And therein lies our problem. Our problem is that when you have an agenda, when you are an ideologue, you don't care about the facts and you don't care about the truth. And as long as we are a nation who no longer cares about either of those, and we are a nation who thinks the Constitution is as outdated as a horse and buggy, we are headed for a very dark time because there aren't alternatives to individual liberty and natural rights granted by God. There's no alternative that's ever existed to date. And until someone shows me one, it's the best game in town. So I caution everyone that in looking at whether it's the Rittenhouse case or it's any other social or political issue, that we all try very hard to put down our agendas and our ideologue hats and try to see reality for what it is. And like those who cry, science, science, listen to the science, I say, facts and evidence, listen to them. Let them be the determining factor in the conclusions that we make, not our emotions, not our ideologies, not our political biases, not our political registration on our voters' cards, none of that. None of that, all of that has gotten us not only to where we are, it's what certain people who have bigger agendas than you or I ever even dream of, those people are using it to keep us divided, to keep us seeing only our side and the other side. Our side and the other side. And as long as there's a me and then there's a you opposing me, I'm going to have to be defensive. I'm not going to take the time to find middle ground or compromise or even make the effort to have a conversation where you listen to me and I listen to you and we find out whether there's wisdom to be had from one to the other, because I promise you there always is. We always have our own perspective. It's like I often say when I meet someone new, I'm not interested in talking about my life and my stories. I know my life and my stories. I want to hear them because I can learn from them. I can hear new things from them, new perspective from them. And of course, I want to be heard. And of course, I want someone to care about who I am and where I've come from and what I believe. But I know all that so well that there's nothing for me to gain in that. The real gain comes from a new perspective. And that's what we all need. We all need to expand our boundaries a bit. Stop thinking so narrowly and stop allowing certain people who have a global mission to keep us divided, to keep us at one another's throats, because it is true that united we stand and divided we fall. It's a saying for a reason. Think about it. I'm Carol Gold. Thanks for listening. And until I'm back here again on maybe Friday or maybe not until Monday, by all means, think for yourself.